back to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 173. I've got Elizabeth here with me.
Hello.
And by here with me, I mean there where she is, but here with us through the miracle of Skype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're coming at you through, I'm reaching through the internet. Yeah. Hello.
So we had an unfortunate thing happen last week, and that's that we were very, very busy, and we hasn't happened to us much in 173 episodes, but we missed a week. We just got too darn busy, and it got too late in the week. We had too much stuff going on, so we just ended up skipping a week, which we don't do that often. This week is actually very busy as well, but we made a point to get some time so I could get Elizabeth on the podcast and we could record a podcast earlier in the week. So apologies to those of you who might have looked for a Talk to Dad podcast and been unable to find one. And thank you for coming back this week and listening. How are things in the lovely city of Denton, Texas, Elizabeth?
Wet. It is. I don't know if it's raining as hard as it is here where you guys are at, but it is coming down massively hard.
It's been raining on and off all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just got back from the supermarket like seconds before I hopped on Skype, actually. And like it was a little late. So the parking slots in our apartment fill up pretty quick. So we had to like run in the rain all the way from the parking lot to our apartment.
Did you get drenched?
And I got absolutely soaked. Yeah, Bex stepped in a puddle and got their sock wet.
Yeah.
So it was coming down real hard. But yeah, we kept the groceries safe. Oh, so good. That's what counts.
So you didn't... That was one of the things... When I was a kid, you know, all grocery bags were paper. And now people are going back to paper grocery bags because, you know, they're like better for the environment than plastic bags. But when I was a kid, if you get a paper bag wet, your groceries can fall through the bottom. They like lose their sturdiness.
Yeah, just get soggy.
Yeah.
I get tissue.
That's one place that plastic grocery bags have it up on paper bags.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been raining hard on and off today. Here. Sometimes it has been rained pretty hard, but, and it's really cold. So I think last podcast I was like rejoicing because it was finally cold and saying how much I enjoy the cold weather.
Too cold. Go back.
But what nobody likes is cold and wet. I wouldn't mind if it wasn't wet. If it was just cold and you could put on a coat, go outside, no big deal. But cold and wet is kind of the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst. And I'm not a huge fan of cold and dry either, because it makes your nose hurt and it makes, I don't know, your lips get chapped. But cold and wet, like, there's no avoiding being cold and miserable for extended periods of time. It's just not fun.
Yeah.
And it's especially true. Not fun because, like, I've been going outdoors more often. I've been trying to, like, actually learn how to skateboard to the point where I'm, like, comfortable, like, using it to get to places.
Yeah. Becoming a skater boy.
Becoming a skater boy, like Avril Lavigne always taught me.
Yeah.
But I haven't really been able to recently because it's been so like miserable outside. But yeah. I don't know, maybe if I was a real skater, I'd do it rain or shine. But I'm just not.
I don't think you'd want to skate in the rain when it's wet. That seems dangerous for one thing, and just unpleasant for another thing.
It does. It seems just sort of miserable. Honestly,
I don't even like to ride a bike in a rain because it seems like you end up like spraying water all over the place, including up your back, unless you have like a really good rear front and rear, like, what do you call those? Fenders, I guess.
Poncho?
No, fenders on your bike because the wheels spin and water sprays everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. It's been a long time since I've ridden a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I think you get to the point where, like, if, and it hasn't, when I say cold, it's like what, in the 50s, probably down to the 40s, like at the very coldest time in the morning.
Probably around there.
At some point, like, it's, I would rather it be like in the 30s and be snowing, or, you know, the 20s or 30s and be snowing, than be in the 50s and be raining. Because somehow snow doesn't feel as cold.
Yeah. With snow, I feel like it takes a second before it gets you wet.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of brush it off a little bit easier. And it's a lot more of like it's a lot drier somehow.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's ice, it's just frozen water, like, it's still just a little bit drier. I don't know.
Yeah, you can shake it off you. I think there's something to be said for that.
Or, like, if you're getting rained on, you're immediately wet. There's no way around it. You're just immediately soaked.
Mm-hmm.
And it sticks around, and it gets, like, there's a way, like, if you put, like, a jacket on, like, maybe if it's, like, a rain slicker or whatever, you can kind of get away with it. But, like, anything else will just immediately get you chilly and freezing.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. Are you familiar with the Reddit called, it's AITA, and I'm going to, because this is a family friendly podcast, I'll say it's called the
Am I the Dingus?
Am I the Dingus or Am I the Jerk? Basically, it's Am I the Jerk?
Am I the Jerk?
The A stands for something else. Are you familiar with this account?
I am. Reddit. I just follow it because there's too many people on there that go on there like, hey, am I the jerk? And then when everybody's like, you're the jerk, they're like, no, you're wrong. Like, they just want validation.
I usually don't go to Reddit. I usually pick it up on Twitter because Twitter, like, reposts them. And I would say, like, 90% of the time, or maybe even more, if you have to ask the question, am I the jerk? Yes, you are the jerk. Like,
a little bit. Sometimes you will get the
occasional
one where it's
like, for the most part, that's
the
response they get.
Yeah. You have to ask, you're probably the jerk. But I mean, at the same time, like, there, I have seen the rare one where it's just like, okay, there's legitimately like no, this is just a bad situation, and like nobody could be have like a completely good interaction where nobody gets hurt from this. But most of the time,
nobody's really the jerk. It's just a bad situation.
Basically, yeah.
Or it could be, you know, occasionally it's like, no, the other person is overreacting.
Or everyone's being a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're a little bit of a jerk, but the other person's like overreacting to the situation.
Yeah.
So I have my own am I the jerk question for you. Based on a situation that happened to me. And I feel a little bit bad about it, but it was mostly just an awkward situation. Kind of like, kind of like if you've ever seen Curb Your Enthusiasm, like that type of a situation.
Yeah. So yeah.
It was very minor, very trivial, but it just kept going on and on. So what happened was I went to a legal conference like last week. And
I was looking forward to this. You sent me an email that said in the introduction, legal conference awkwardness. And I was like, oh, I'm so ready for this.
So I went to a legal conference, and it was sponsored by a local law school. This has nothing to do with my particular story of awkwardness, but the guy who was running the conference, it turns out, is someone that I knew from back in college, and I couldn't remember if I knew him or not, but I introduced myself, and he's like, oh yeah, I know you. We've met. And we knew people like in common, and we knew each other in college, and now he's like a law professor at this law school, and I'm a lawyer in town. But that's not the awkward point. I was just kind of amazed that he remembered me, because I didn't really remember him that well. I sort of remembered the name, and I sort of remembered him, but he immediately knew who I was. Like, he's one of those people, I think, that has like total recall of people's names and faces, which is really impressive to me.
I have a pretty good eye for like faces. So like, I'll be like, oh, I remember you. I just don't know where or what your name is or anything about you.
I do a lot of like staring at someone going, I know that person, but I cannot figure out like how I know them. You know?
Yeah.
And like, and it will bug me. And I'm like, I just need to figure out why I know that person. Or do I really know them? Or have I just convinced myself that I know them?
Yeah. Or do they look like somebody else?
Yeah.
There's a guy at my school who's a gym teacher. And I thought I knew him for the longest time. But no, he just looks a lot like J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, that's funny. So this legal conference, you know, it was an all day event. And like a lot of legal conferences, it was held like in a hotel ballroom. So like a big conference room in a hotel. And there were little tables set up in the ballroom, like round tables. And then the presentations were all up front. And I came in, and when you come in, you register, and they give you a little, like, lanyard to wear around your neck.
Okay, and so far then, this is exactly like AnimeCon.
Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, any sort of event. They give you a little lanyard, and then they give you, they gave us, like, this paper, like, folder, you know, like a trapper folder. And it had, like, the schedule of the event, and then it had, like, basically just some promotional materials about, like, the law school and the programs and probably some promotional materials from, like, some of the law firms that sponsored the conference. So, like, nothing really super important except for maybe the schedule, which I think they had also emailed out. So, like, you could either look at the paper or you could pull up the email. But I went into the room, and there, I think I got there a little bit early, and I sat at a big table, and I put – I sat at a chair. This was my, my first mistake was I sat at a chair and I put the folder like in front of the chair next to me. I should have put it directly in front of me, but they, I think they had plates set up because it was also, they were serving lunch later. I don't know. But anyway, I like put the, this folder like in the seat next to me. And then I just kind of went on. I had like my laptop with me. And so I kind of stuck that by my chair on the floor and I was just sitting there. And at some point, like the table started to fill up and someone came and sat right next to me. And it was a woman who was like part of the law school. I won't say specifically because I don't, not that there's any chance she'll listen to this, but I don't want to call her out, but she sits down in the seat next to me. And at some point she like opens the folder, which was my folder, not to be possessive or anything, but it was like, she opens it and she starts looking at the schedule. And then I didn't realize it at first, but like during one of the breaks, I go to look at the schedule. And I'm like, oh, that's my schedule. That's my folder. And I like,
oh no.
And I like picked it up and I like moved it over to my chair. And there was like this really slight window where I could have fixed this problem.
Yeah.
But it passed really quickly and I did not do it. But she sat down. And she asks the, so there's two people, I'm sitting on one side, there's someone else sitting on the other side of her. She turns to the person that's sitting on the other side and says, someone took my folder. Do you know what happened to my folder? And that's the point I could have jumped in and said, I don't know, I could have said, oh, here it is. Or I could have said, actually, that was my folder. No big deal. I don't care. But I didn't.
Or here, you can borrow mine or... Something.
Here,
but like, what do you say?
Or,
like when you're put on the spot like that.
But it was already in front of me and I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, that was me. I stole it. And because I didn't steal it. It was actually mine.
It was your folder.
It would have been given to me. And it really wasn't that big of a deal because there's nothing really valuable in it. But all throughout the rest of the conference, it's like she wouldn't let it go. And it's weird because I feel like she asked everyone except for me.
That seems passive aggressive.
So I think maybe she suspected me.
Oh, that's terrible. That's the worst.
And at one point, I kind of like tucked it under my laptop because I didn't want her to think, I bet he has my folder.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I don't know if I will. And she like worked in the... in like one of the administrative offices at the law school. So it's not like she wasn't another participant like attending, but I guess she just wanted to look at the schedule. I don't know.
She just wanted to see it and to have it and to hold it in her hand.
But apparently she felt like, I can't believe someone would take my folder. And I just wanted to say, it wasn't your folder. Like, but I didn't say anything. I just sat there. I just sat there awkwardly. As she asks everyone else who comes to the table, can you believe someone took my folder? I don't know what happened to it.
Oh my gosh. That's the worst.
So here's the question. am I the jerk in this situation?
I don't. No, I don't think so.
I because I think I really could have fixed this situation, but I only had a very short window to do it. Once it had sort of passed.
But it's your folder though. But it's your folder.
I couldn't go back and say, you know what? Here it is. Here's the folder.
Here, just take it.
All she had to do was go up to the registration desk and she could have got another folder for herself. I'm sure there were extra folders, you know?
Yeah, it's like, she's a part of the, like, hosting part of the
convention.
Just get another folder.
Exactly. She's and I'm a participant, and they gave me one when I registered. I don't know. It was very odd. It was very weird.
I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat, like dreaming about this.
Yes. And so I feel horrible. I feel like because she never asked me, I feel like she kind of knew. She kind of knew, but she would like loudly ask other people in front of me.
At that point, just let it go. Just stop doing this thing.
It was very strange. It was a strange situation that had nothing to do with the legal conference I was attending or really anything at all. And at the end of the conference, I left the folder on the table. I like didn't even want to take it with me.
Because
it feels like it was like emotionally charged.
Like
I shouldn't bring that karma home with me.
You almost want to you want to leave the evidence behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you're the jerk in this situation.
I don't know. I mean, I'm open to the possibility that maybe I was. Because I could have fixed this situation, perhaps.
Maybe, but when you're put on the spot like that and then the window of opportunity passes and then you're like, well, now it's too late to say anything without it getting really weird.
And the other thing is it so didn't matter. It was so trivial that it almost seemed like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although you could tell it was bugging her that she didn't know what happened to it. But yeah, very strange. So,
yeah, for sure.
So you're about a half of a semester into your student teaching experience.
Yeah.
How is that going?
Almost done. Pretty good, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's going pretty much as it's always gone. About what you'd expect, I think. I am running into having some days where I'm like, I just don't prepare something well, or whatever I'm trying just really isn't working.
So some days are better than others.
Yeah, some days are better than others.
That's how teaching will be, yeah. I feel that way in my job.
That's mostly how life is.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yep.
I will they'll call me mean for various things. In a way that where you tell they don't actually think I'm mean, but I'll make fun of them a little bit, or I'll be handing out an assignment and they'll be like, Miss Bear, I don't want to do this. And I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. And then just keep walking.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Your life is so hard.
Yeah.
And then I'll just, keep explaining.
How else can you really respond to that? I'm sorry. Yeah. It's school. You got to do it. It's not fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had this one class pester me for about 10 minutes at the beginning of class nonstop. They're like, it's Friday. We want to watch a movie. And I'm like, no,
I don't have a movie for you to watch. Sorry.
I don't have a movie for you to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies is an end of year thing.
Yeah. That's more of an end of year thing. Yeah. I mean, we'll bust out a short thing. Video
not,
once in a while.
End of week thing. It's an end of year thing.
Yeah. They're just weak.
Yeah.
But they're fine. I mean, I feel like a lot of people kind of overestimate how terrible teenagers are. They're kind of dumb just in their decision making, but they're not more or less bad than the rest of the adult population, I feel like.
It's true.
Sometimes they might be a little hard to reason with.
And everybody was that age at some point. And I don't think this generation's any smarter or less smart than other people that were at that age.
Yeah, I feel like people who complain about how stupid teenagers are nowadays forget how stupid them and their friends were.
I'm sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like for the most part, there is a couple kids that can be disruptive or whatever, but 9 times out of 10, they genuinely don't mean to be. They're just either they're too excited or they want to be really social when it's class time. They're not doing it to be mean-spirited or anything.
Yeah. So are you getting used to being a member of faculty?
A little bit, yeah. It's weird because at the beginning of the year, you don't really know these people, so you'll call them Mr. or Miss whatever. And so now I'm trying to figure out, like, do I transition to, like, calling you by your first name? So, like, instead of being like, hey, Mr. Smith, I'll be like, what's up, Brandon? And that's weird.
Is that odd? Is that strange? Like,
yeah. Or, like, I went to a Denton has, like, a Day of the Dead festival that's really fun. This is actually the first year I've gone, regrettably, because it's really, really fun. But the entire time I was like, oh, I hope I see, you know, this one member of faculty who I knew was going to be there, and we were actually, like, friends, but I didn't end up seeing her. But I don't know. It's weird, like, that I would want to, like, hang out with these people outside school, because I still kind of think of them as, like, a lot older than me, because a lot of them are a lot older than me by, like, 10 or 20 years. But they're, I don't know. It's weird, but it's, I think I'm kind of settling into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that would be, I think the thing that makes it weird is, like, there's probably a wide range of ages. So, like, the younger faculty, they're only a few years older than you, really. But the older faculty can be, like, 30 years older than you.
Oh, yeah. Or more.
Or more. Even. 40 years older. Perhaps. Yeah. Probably not 50 or 60 years older, most likely.
Probably not, but I guess it could be possible.
You never know.
Yeah.
Are you still feeling okay about your decision to become a teacher?
Yeah, I'm still feeling good about it.
Good.
I mean, I better be. I went to college for this long.
Yeah, I
feel good
about it. I don't want you to change your major right now. That would cause that lots would of really tuition checks.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I feel like it's work for sure. But mm-hmm. I was expecting that pretty much.
Well, anything you do is going to be work pretty much, you know. That's
basically.
It's why people pay you to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Switching gears a little bit, I do have a Maisie update.
Ooh, yes.
And usually our Maisie updates are about, like, cute things that Maisie does or something quirky. This time, I feel like hopefully Maisie doesn't listen to this podcast because she might sue us for defamation. But we are dealing with a flea situation.
She can't afford that. Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate. I've never had a dog that's had fleas before.
Yeah.
You've given us some advice because you had a flea situation with your cats. But somehow, somehow Maisie got fleas. And we finally noticed them. We sort of suspected something was going on because she was scratching a lot. She was having this weird, I guess when dogs or cats have fleas, they have this weird kind of peppery stuff. And I think technically it's like flea excrement, which is really gross, that comes off of them.
Yeah, it's flea dirt.
Flea debris.
I think it's the technical term.
Yeah. And,
flea debris.
And then finally, like, Allison, your mom, saw this little bug and it jumped. And she was like, oh, no, I think it's a flea. And I actually went and got some tweezers and grabbed it with the tweezers. And then I was like looking at, I didn't have a microphone. So I was using like the Zoom camera on
microphone?
My phone. I didn't have a, what do you call that?
Microscope?
A microscope or a magnifying glass. That's what I was
thinking.
Yeah. I didn't have a magnifying glass. So I was using like the Zoom on my phone to look at it.
Well, you usually just see them with your bare eyes.
Well, they're really small and they just kind of look like they're really tiny, which, you know, they're flea sized.
Yeah.
But when you look up like pictures of them on the internet, they look like these strange beasts. But then when you look at one in real life, they're like the size of a pinhead. And so you need to like, but then when I zoomed in, I'm like, oh yeah, that looks like a flea. And then, you know, the more we like learned about them, the more we're like, yeah, all this fits the situation. Apparently, like, sometimes you can just get them because like a rabbit came into your yard with fleas and the fleas ended up in your yard. Or
they spread
birds
really
will bring
easily.
Them or rats will bring them. And
yeah, they spread really easily and they multiply like crazy and they're really itchy. Good news is that they basically die immediately when you put soap on them or like water.
Mm-hmm.
So like with humans, it's like, okay, we already shower and wash our hands and our bodies a lot. So it's fine. We probably won't get them.
Yeah.
Plus we don't have,
we don't have fur over our, yeah. It's like, there's not places for them to hide in us. Like, unlike the dog or cats.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, you know, we've done all this stuff. We keep, like, we've got some flea spray. I normally give the dog like a flea treatment, but for some reason, I don't know, the fleas happened anyway, and I gave her an extra flea treatment, and then I gave her a bath with flea shampoo. And Mom got this little flea trap thing. It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
it's like,
that been working?
Well, I think more than like a flea trap, I don't think you could actually like rid your house of fleas, but it's more like a flea detection device. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think like this alone will not eliminate all the fleas in your house. But what you can do is you can put it. So what it is it's kind of like, to describe it, it's like round. And there's like kind of like a round dish. But above that, there's like a light bulb. And then there's a space in between the dish and the light bulb. Does this make any sense? Almost like a cylinder with the sides open. And
it makes sense to me because I've seen it. Okay. I don't know how much it makes sense to somebody
who's
listening
to this. Hopefully it'll make a little bit of sense to someone. You can Google it, you know, flea trap, if you want to see what this thing's like. But it's kind of like a cylinder with the sides open, and then there's a light bulb at the top, and there's a, at the bottom, there's like a sticky disc, which is, acts like flypaper, basically. So the idea is you put it in a dark room, and the fleas are attracted to the light and attracted to the heat. And they jump up into it, and then they get stuck on the little thing at the bottom. So what you can do is you can stick it in a room where you just to find out if you have fleas in that room, and leave it there with the lights turned off, and then come back and check it and say, oh, yep, those are fleas. So it can kind of tell you like which parts of your house need to be treated or, you know, vacuumed and sprayed or whatever.
Yeah.
That's really more of what it's for. I don't think it will solve your flea problem, but it'll help you kind of diagnose your flea problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm hoping we won't have a flea problem too much longer. It's been raining. We got the last thing I haven't done, which I think will take care of it for good, is I got some outdoor spray stuff to get to like spray our backyard. You like hook it up to your hose and basically it just poisons all the insects in your yard. Which is an unfortunate thing, but you know, we got to do something to get rid of these fleas. But, because it's been raining, I haven't done it yet. So I'm kind of waiting for the rain to stop so I can spray it because I don't know how effective it would be if it's raining.
Yeah. That seems like it wouldn't work as well.
Yeah. So I think tomorrow it's supposed to stop raining. And then after a couple of days, maybe we can spray the yard and maybe we'll be able to deal with the situation, but it's very frustrating. They're kind of gross.
They're really gross, and they're like everywhere.
Yeah, and Mom has gotten bit a lot on her ankles.
Yes.
And I have not, apparently. Like, they like Mom, but they don't like me. And I don't know
why. It might be like a blood type thing. you're more tasty to certain bugs with certain blood types.
Yeah, that's weird, but it's something. For some reason, I'm not as attractive to these bugs because I sleep in the same bed as Mom. I walk around the same house and, she doesn't, she gets them and I don't. And she's had a really bad reaction to them too, like these big swollen bites.
Yeah.
And either I haven't been bitten or I've been bitten. And I just haven't noticed cause it doesn't do anything to me.
Yeah.
Like, different people have different allergic reactions too.
Maybe they just think you're stinky.
Yeah. Maybe I am stinky to a flea and I'm okay with that. I am okay with
that. I think I would be okay with that.
Yeah. So that is our Maisie update. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
So first up, I have a story from the Shandong province of China. A woman has given birth to a baby girl, and this woman is 67 years old.
Which is surprising. Yes, which is surprising, but not as surprising as if she gave birth to a 67-year-old.
Yes, that would be more surprising.
Yeah, that'd be some creepy Benjamin Button stuff.
A 67-year-old woman in China has become the oldest person in that country to give birth after having a baby girl. The woman, a retired nurse identified by the surname Tian, had her baby via cesarean section at the Zhaojiang Maternity and Child Health Hospital in Shandong Province on Friday. I have a few questions about the story. It says she underwent unspecified traditional Chinese fertility treatments prior to her pregnancy. And I, my question here is, what would motivate a person who's 67 years old to have another child?
Yeah, why do you,
like,
why do you want to go to the extent,
to go to the extent of having fertility treatments?
Yeah, like just have like have grandkids or like adopt a cat or something.
Oh, yeah, or a goldfish, you know.
Something.
I even think a cat is a little bit of a commitment for a 67-year-old. And I say that as someone who's just about to turn 49. 48? 48. So I'm getting older too, yeah. And I recognize that, but I would be shocked if I had another kid at this point.
Yeah.
It says, you don't. The couple already have two adult children and multiple grandchildren, the oldest of whom is 18. So their oldest grandchild is 18, and they just had a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
A baby girl.
Man.
So she is the oldest woman in China ever to have a baby girl at the age of 67, but she is not the oldest woman ever to have a baby.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because it said oldest woman in China. It doesn't seem, 67 doesn't seem that old for like a world record.
It's pretty old to be having children. Do you want to guess how old the oldest woman ever to have a baby?
I'm going to guess at least 70s, at least in her 70s.
You are correct.
Oh,
she was in her 70s.
Okay.
74.
Oof.
A mother gave birth at the age of 74 to twins. Twin girls.
Oh my gosh.
Aramati Mangayama of India gave birth to twin girls at the age of 74.
No.
That's intense.
I don't want this.
That's intense. I think twins are hard at any age, but at 74, that's a bit of a challenge.
74? It seems like it would break your bones somehow.
Yeah. I mean, I even think, you know, if you're, it's just, you know that when they are teenagers, you're going to be really, really old. Now, the woman in China, she says that her and her husband both are in good health and they plan on living to be 110. But even at that, you know, they're still going to be really old when this kid is still pretty young.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess congratulations.
Congrats, I guess.
But, yeah, interesting. I didn't, you know, normally women, they get up into their 40s and you're kind of pushing fertility.
Yeah.
And it's not unheard of for someone in their 50s to give birth, but it's pretty unusual. But someone who's 67 or 74.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be like.
Pretty
like
impressive.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine wanting that at that age, you know?
I'm already at the point where I'm like, you know what? I enjoy each of my children. And I enjoyed them when they were younger too, but I have no desire to start over.
Yeah. No, that's valid. Yeah.
Especially when we reached the point where we really didn't need a babysitter. I can't imagine going backward now.
Because it just seems like we got to do this again.
Yeah.
You know?
You want to share one of your stories?
Yes. I have amazing news. I have the best news. The news is that rats are driving little cars and they're loving it.
And it's all in the name of science.
It's all in the name of science. There's certain like scientific studies that I look at that and I'm like, you're just messing around, but like writing it down.
This is a pretty awesome one, though. I really think I give it to these scientists.
Yeah,
it seems like a fun experiment.
It also seems amazing.
These rats are enjoying themselves. You know, sometimes
they're loving this.
Sometimes lab animals have horrible things done to them. These rats get to tool around in their own rat-powered vehicles or rat-driven vehicles, I guess.
Yeah, little rat mobiles. Yeah. These rats are like, if I was a lab rat, I'd want to be in this experiment.
Yes.
And no, apparently no they enjoy ones. It. Yeah, this is just like Rat Mario Kart. We could have Rat Mario Kart. Oh, we could put little mustaches on them.
Oh, they should race each other. Good. We could have like the rat racing league.
The literal rat race.
You could have like odds on them and people could place their bets.
Yes.
It could be a whole gambling industry based on rats racing themselves, racing other rats in cars.
Oh, yeah, it can get very dark and twisted, and there could be, like, a rat racing mafia. But, like, at the center of it, it's just going to be adorable because it's little rats and little cars, and they're loving it. They're loving this lifestyle.
Yeah. Until the chief rat tells the rat that he needs to take a fall. He needs to blow the race.
Yeah, and then the rat has too much pride to blow the race. So then the rat mafia corners him and kneecaps him after the game.
All right, tell us more about this experiment. Let's get back to the facts here.
So basically the scientists were like, all right, we're modifying this robot car kit. So they have this little car kit to make like a little robot car. And what they do is it looks like, basically what they did is they took like a little plastic jar, you know, like that you'd get like for like rat food, I would guess is probably in this. And they cut like little windows so the rats can see out of it. And they put it on top of the car so they can put a rat in these little cars and they teach them to drive around. It's very cute.
I want to see videos of this. There's a picture along with the article, but I would like to see videos of these rats tooling around in their cars.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what they did is they taught these rats to drive this like little jerry-rigged car. And then they analyzed chemicals in their poop. And they searched for cortisol, which is a stress hormone, and they searched for dehydroepinandrosterone, which is like the relaxing chemical. So they're searching for stress chemicals and relaxing chemicals, and they found.
I'm going to say it's dehydroepiandrosterone.
That. Yes, that's probably
a long word. That is a really long word. That would do really well in Scrabble.
Yeah, the chill drug. So they're looking for stress chemicals and chill chemicals, and they found that every single rat that was running around in the little cars had higher levels of like chill chemicals, indicating they were more relaxed, which could be linked to the satisfaction of gaining mastery over a new skill referred to as self-efficacy or agency in humans. So these rats are feeling empowered by their little cars.
By learning to drive a ratmobile.
Yeah. And they're also, the ones who are driving it themselves were relaxed more so than the ones who were like just sitting in the car while a human like kind of, you know, we're joysticking them around.
I can relate to this because I always like to drive the car when I'm driving around. I get more stressed out when other people are driving the car.
Yeah, because you feel like you aren't in control. You're just like a backseat driver. You're like, well, if they crash, this is going to suck.
Yeah, yep.
Somehow this relates to, like, potentially in the future treating, like, schizophrenia or depression. But for now, we're just making, enriching these little rats' lives, and I think that's really great.
I like it. I want to see videos. I'm going to search the internet for videos now of rats.
I need this video.
Driving their cars.
Yes. They look so, like, I want them to have little helmets.
So
or like little like racing like driving gear.
Yeah, like the mouse and the motorcycle.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
Or Runaway Ralph. Same mouse, I think. In Beverly Clary.
I think so. Yeah.
I think his motorcycle helmet was made of a ping pong ball, if I recall correctly. But I think they need to fit these little rats with little helmets.
Yeah, little racing goggles.
And I think they need to create a racing, like a competitive racing league too.
Absolutely.
Yes, this is what science needs to do for us.
Like, I'm never one. I kind of don't get why people watch NASCAR, but I would watch this.
If it was totally. NASCAR, but with absolutely.
I would totally watch that.
Yep.
I mean, I watch the dog shows around Thanksgiving, and that's not even dogs like doing anything. They're just like existing and walking around a little bit.
Yeah. So I've got a story here that I need your help interpreting, because there are just this raises more questions than it answers for me. This okay. is about a haunted house in Tennessee. The haunted house's name is McCamey Manor, and it is run by Russ McCamey. Do you know about this?
This jerk. Yes. Yes, it sucks.
So he's in Summertown, sorry. Tennessee. Maybe you already know the answers to some of my questions then, but he has this haunted house, and he requires, in order to enter the haunted house, you must sign a 40-page waiver, pass a physical, and undergo a background check. And he claims no one has ever finished his haunted house. He, McCamey Manor, the only thing he charges for admission is a bag of food for his dogs. And if someone does finish it, but it's a little unclear what he means by finish it, he claims he will pay them $20,000 and that no one has ever collected the prize money. He says, first, the visitors have to watch a 2-hour video called And Then There Were None, in which features footage of every visitor from July 2017 to August 2019, and shows that they've all quit before they finish the experience. And then they leave by uttering the code phrase, "You really don't want to do this." I'm very confused about what actually the attraction is, because he says it involves hypnosis and fooling people into thinking they're in horrific situations. Like he says, here's a quote: "When I use hypnosis, I can put you in a kiddie pool with a couple inches of water and tell you there's a great white shark in there, and you're going to think it's a shark in the water." But he videotapes all this because he says when people go to the authorities and say, "He put me in a shark with tank," then he can show the authorities the video and show that really they were just splashing around in a kiddie pool and that's not what happened at all. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what's going on with this whole haunted house thing. Do you know anything about it?
Yes. So McCamey Manor is probably famous for being the most extreme haunted house out there. And this particular article that we're reading is a little bit dishonest about the stuff that happened, because the thing is, this guy does a lot of like really unethical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Including shaving participants' heads, restraining them to the point where like they'll say the code phrase and he won't let them go.
So it's not like your typical haunted house where they're not allowed to touch you.
No.
And I guess that's where the 40-page waiver comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually surprised this stuff hasn't been shut down. The employees of the manor can physically assault you and actually do pretty regularly. They've waterboarded people, forced them to eat and drink different substances, and engage in other forms of, like, this is just from the Wikipedia page.
So it's basically
which
just
is
they're
pretty
torturing
well annotated.
People.
They basically are, like, a lot of people have said, "Hey, how is this legal? Like, I know this is like supposed to be an extreme attraction, but this is going pretty far beyond things that are just like a haunted house." Like at some point, there's even one case where like somebody managed to escape, and like run off there. It's just sort of out in the middle of nowhere as far as I can tell. But somebody has like escaped from it. And the guy who runs it had his wife go out and tell them that, "Yeah, sorry, we went too far. We're going to let you go. We'll take you home." And then when they went back, they just put him right back in. Like just, not great. Generally, like apparently there's like a community around like haunted houses called the Haunt Community. And they don't really consider McCamey Manor a part of traditional Halloween haunted houses. There's been people who say, I repeated the sort of safe phrase, for several minutes before the employees stopped hurting her. People have been hospitalized. People have been drugged. It's really, really some shady stuff going on down there. So I'm really not a fan of this guy who runs it.
No, and I have no desire whatsoever to go there. It's weird that they have these what they call them, immersive haunted houses. I think this is the most extreme one, but there are other ones where it's like, you know, they consider it an immersive experience and, you know, they may touch you or they may like try to scare you beyond just, you know, jumping out at you.
Yeah.
I think that's an odd thing. I can't imagine like wanting to do that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the appeal of horror and I didn't understand what the appeal of horror was for a long time because like I'm a pretty anxious person by nature, so I couldn't imagine like wanting to be scared on purpose. And now I kind of do because it's like, okay, it kind of indulges in that part of your brain that says, okay, what is the worst possible thing that could go wrong? And it just like allows you to sort of play in that fantasy space for a little bit.
Knowing that it's imaginary.
Knowing that it's all fake, that it's a video game or that it's a movie or that this is never actually going to happen. And I'm fine with that. Like I'm fine with horror movies now, and horror stories I really like. Horror video games, like probably the scariest game I've played is The Last of Us, and that was still like I was still a little jumpy during that because it's more like you're more physically there, you're actually making the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I could never I don't even I can't do like even the cheesiest horror like haunted houses because it's too much. It's too much actually physically being there.
Yeah, do you I was going to ask, do you like haunted houses?
I have been to one haunted house in my life. It's Sandy Lake Amusement Park. It's literally like this tiny little like the fakest, most like chintzy kind of
where you just ride the ride through the haunted house, right? Or do you walk through
it? I cannot. No, you ride it through. And I cannot do it. I cannot do it. It's just too nerve-wracking for
me. I'm not a big fan. I think what I don't like about it is like the control thing again, you know? I like being in control of my circumstances. And it's not that I'm scared so much as I feel like at any point that I want to leave, I want to be able to leave. And I feel like once you get halfway through, it's like it's dark in there. There's a lot of flashing lights. People are being like obnoxiously trying to scare you. And I don't know. I don't like that. I want to be able to say, nah, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Yeah. 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 And so I do like the idea of like a safe word for most haunted houses. I feel like if you say like, pickles or whatever, and the employee's like, oh man, are you okay? Like I can take you out. Here's the exit.
Yeah.
Like in normal haunted houses. But I do understand like the appeal, for like people who like stuff like that. I just don't think the employee's like touching you when like you're not allowed to do that same thing to them. Cause I mean, they have you sign waivers at the beginning of haunted houses like this, like so that you don't, you know, assault the employees, basically.
Yeah.
Or so that they have a legal defense.
Well, I assume a lot of it. So you don't sue them for whatever. So you give up all your claims to like sue them for assault or whatever, you know. Any injuries that happen to you or harm that happens to you.
What I think I could do with this, I think I understand like. Just like a regular haunted house where they just sort of jump out at you and try and scare you. I think I could probably be the actor that does that. I think I'd, I don't know how scary, I'm probably not very scary, but like, especially if it's like something that's just like cheesy and I get like, you know, a mask and like a fake chainsaw or something. I could probably do that. I think that'd be fun.
I think I could do that too. Like if you're part of the cast or whatever, and there are some around that are like really theatrical and really well done, like with good effects and stuff. But I think the difference is like, you know exactly what's there. You've seen it with the lights on. You've seen it before they turn the lights off. And so it's not...
You know that scary clown over there is, like, named Gabriel and, like, he has a family.
Right. And you know that there's, you know, that knife is just rubber and it's not going to hurt anyone, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could be in the cast. I just don't really enjoy the... I don't know what is going to happen next, and I don't know how long it's going to take before I get out of here, and I can't really see, so I'm kind of stumbling around. I don't like that.
Yeah, I understand why people like it. It's just, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I can't, no.
Yep. Same.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of creepy.
Yeah.
Sorry, you had another thought.
Yes. Oh, I was just saying, like, it would make, like... walking from your car to your house, like, in the dark, feel a lot less creepy, because you're like, okay, well, I was just facing down a scary clown with a knife. Like, this is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of creepy, you do have one more story that involves creepiness.
Yes,
and it
involves
a very niche.
I feel like it's niche.
I like saying niche, but I think it is niche. Mm-hmm. A very niche part of the whole creepy universe.
So this is about a museum in Minnesota, the History Center of Olmsted County. They're holding a creepy doll contest. So basically what they're doing, they're not having people send in their creepy dolls, which is what I thought when I first saw this. But instead it is, they have 9 dolls that they have on their site. And they're asking social media users to vote which one's the creepiest.
And I've
they actually
pulled up their Facebook page. I'm pulling up their website now.
Yes, please. Send that to me too when you pull it up, because
I'm trying to find the contest itself. There's a reference to it. I guess it's on Facebook where you can vote.
Mm-hmm. So there's a quote here in this article that I absolutely love. I love it so much.
Here's the winner. Apparently this is already completed.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Because they do have a winner.
The curator of the museum says, quote, "The doll I disdain handling is the one with human hair." It just makes you go, like, excuse me? And he goes on to say, "We have some dolls that have movable eyelids, and when you lift them up, they snap. You can hear the click from the eyes moving up," which I always thought is really, really creepy with old dolls, like the snap of the eyelids opening. That's,
I'm going to send you the link to the original post with the 9 dolls. All right, just send it to you.
This one has human hair.
Yeah.
Now I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, which one has the...
I wish I could see this picture better. Oh, you can kind of zoom it up a little bit. There are 9 of them.
Yeah, it looks like number 1 is some sort of doll from, I want to say, like, maybe some sort of, like, African or, like, South American,
or maybe
country.
Like Aztec, maybe. Like it was
some
probably
sort of
a souvenir,
like,
that was brought home from, like, Latin America or Africa. It's someone in, it's, like, supposed to be, like, a doll in ceremonial garb or something.
Yeah.
I actually don't find that one that creepy.
Yeah, I find that more, like, interesting, honestly, because, like, it's very ornately dressed, and it's not too human-like. It's almost kind of, like, have a more cartoony face than the rest of them, which I feel like the Uncanny Valley effect is what really gets me for dolls.
Mm-hmm. Now, number 2, I would say, is considerably creepy.
Yes. So kind of describe what's
so
number 2
look like. It's kind of an old China doll-looking thing, but it's got, like, a linen and lace. It's like a red linen with kind of old faded lace around the collar and around the sleeves of the cuffs of the sleeves. But the weird thing is, like, the eyeballs are blank. And
yeah,
the face
looks like the paint is, like,
kind of
off.
Looks like Edgar Allan Poe. If Edgar Allan Poe were, like,
a baby's
face.
Like a baby with cute, like, chubby cheeks.
Yes.
It kind of does.
And blank eyeballs. That one's pretty creepy. I put that one right up there.
Yeah, I think it's either this one or number 5 that has the human hair, but we'll get to number 5. Number 3 is, it's again, like, a little more cartoony, so I don't find it as creepy.
I don't think it's that creepy, although I don't know.
It's just a doll in a red dress.
There's a certain amount
of
creep
to
it.
It looks like it's made out of plush or, like, painted fabric rather than
like a fabric face.
Ceramic. So that's fine. What I find kind of creepy about it is the arms look strangely, like, disconnected from the rest of the body. They're at a weird angle.
Yeah, their proportions are odd.
Yeah, her proportions are odd, but I don't think she's too scary.
Yeah. Number 4
you
is fairly creepy.
Yeah.
It's a black and white photo. The eyes are really odd looking. They're really dark looking. It's a little goth. It looks like it's got like white. It's black and white, so you can't tell, but it looks like it's got either white or blonde hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fairly creepy.
It looks like a mix between, just the face looks like a mix between a baby and an old woman, which is very unsettling.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. It also looks like it might look like it was staring at you.
Yeah. Number five is the one that I suspect might have human hair. It's considerably longer than the rest of these dolls' hair. I think it's also ceramic, like number two, but it's more a child rather than a baby doll. It's very creepy. I think it's what you think of when you think creepy dolls. She has like a white dress, kind of Edwardian looking, mm-hmm. Kind of a big old bow, and like I think this one might have human hair.
It might.
It looks very
yeah.
It might.
It might look like the one that's most likely to actually be haunted to me.
It does. It gives off a very haunted vibe.
Yeah, something about it.
I think the last row is extremely haunted.
Okay, number six just scary. Looks like number six just looks like a mannequin head. Like maybe it came from
a wig head.
A hat maker or a wig maker.
Yeah, I'm literally looking at a wig head right now.
I'm not like sure what that's supposed to be.
Counter.
I think they just threw that one in there.
I mean,
it's faceless, which makes it a little creepy, but not very creepy, really.
No, nothing that you wouldn't see going into like a Joann's.
Now, number seven is pretty darn creepy. I think
that
it's like
one is creepy.
It's like an eight on the creepiness scale. If 10 is the most creepy, it's probably about an eight.
This has very haunted vibes, but not in the Victorian, like number five is very like a Victorian haunted doll type thing. This one is like, this is cursed. Like,
yeah,
this is a
like
cursed
it's used
doll.
In the dark arts or something. It's got really
like
long
like
limbs, like
doll.
Long, yeah, stretchy
yeah,
limbs.
Long, twisty, kind of noodly limbs. It looks like it has a skull face almost.
Yeah, there's something
and
wrong
like
with the face for sure.
Hair. Yeah, and some sort of pointed hat. It's very creepy. I hate looking at it. I feel like I will become, like if I touch it, it will like manifest itself in my home.
Number eight is fairly creepy. It looks like a Cupid doll that's sitting down, but the eyes are like really dark.
Yeah, it looks like whatever paint they use to paint the eyes and the mouth kind of is like bleeding.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it looks like a fetus to me. It's really creepy.
I think it's just plastic, but it's not good. There's something off about it.
Yeah, or like it's it looks like a little alien almost. It doesn't really look human. And speaking of not looking human, I feel like nine is also up. Ah!
What was that?
Oh my gosh.
What was
That's
that?
That's just like, oh, creepy dolls, man. I was just looking at these cursed dolls.
It's like a fetus, but it's bleeding from the eyes and the mouth. I was like, what are you looking at?
Oh yeah, it does. Which one of these do you think is creepiest? They're holding a creepy doll contest.
Nine? Four is a close runner-up, though.
Number
Seven.
Nine. I will say this about number
first.
Nine. If you came across number nine in a dark basement, it would be really disturbing.
Ugh,
wouldn't
that
it?
That scared me. That was really bad timing. Yeah, no, if I came across nine, I feel like nine is the most likely to move. I feel like the other ones might move, but I wouldn't see it.
I will send a link to this Facebook post out on our social media so anyone who's listening to this can look at them for themselves. They don't have to find it. Do you want to guess which one won?
I'm going to guess either nine or seven.
Yes, it was number nine. Number nine
is
the
scary.
Creepiest doll.
It looks like this creepy,
It looks like if you were trying to make a creepy doll, this is what you would make.
There's this Czechoslovakian, like, stop-motion animation movie called Little Otik. O-T-I-K. Uh-huh. And if you look up the doll that they use for that, it looks... It's like a fairy tale horror movie, basically. But if you look up like the doll that they use for Little Otik, it looks like that, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know how I know about Czechoslovakian stop motion animation.
I don't know either.
I've never seen this movie in my life.
You just happen to know what it, the aesthetic of it.
It's, yeah, I guess.
It's pretty creepy. If you found this like in a dark basement, it would creep you out.
It would. Like, the rest of them are like, okay, I can see this, like, there's a plausible explanation for it being there at least. Like, maybe number seven's a close runner-up.
Seven's pretty weird.
But number nine, like, it's almost like the face is kind of, like, rotted off. It's very odd.
I'm not sure what it's made of. Is it wooden or maybe a leather or fabric? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, and like it's kind of rubbed off so you can only see like these two like dark circles for eyes. It's really creepy.
It's like not quite human. I don't know. Like it's not like it. I don't even know if it's supposed. I guess it's supposed to be human, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very odd. Yeah. So that's the news. Let's do a quick dad quiz.
Dad quiz. That's pretty good.
At some point during this podcast, I think we've done a Halloween dad quiz before, but let's go ahead and do a quick one. I sent you a link. This is from American Express Essentials. Has the ultimate Halloween trivia quiz. Do you have it open? All right. So it's multiple choice. We will read the question. Each of us will vote, and then we'll tell you what the answer is. The first one says, the origins of Halloween can be traced back to what Celtic festival believed to be the one day of the year that the dead return to Earth and roam among the living? Is it Beltane, Samhain, or Hogmanay?
Oh, we were just talking about this in Target, about how we should include more of the traditions from this holiday, like setting things on fire and dancing around.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you vote?
So actually, it's Samhain. It looks like Samhain.
Is it pronounced Samhain? Okay, that's what I voted for too.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like Samhain, but I guess in Celtic it would be Samhain.
Yeah.
Which sounds nothing like Halloween. I guess it's a little bit like Halloween if you really stretch it. Mm-hmm. It says, due to its origins in the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, Halloween is said to be more Irish than St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it's a very Irish holiday.
Yeah.
We don't think about it like that, but it's extremely so.
Yeah. Are you want to read number two?
Yeah. One of the most time-honored ways to celebrate Halloween, the wearing of costumes can be traced back to the ancient Celts. Is it Celts or Celts? It's the Boston Celts, right?
So it's the Boston Celtics, but it's actually the Celts.
The Celts, yeah. Traced back to the ancient Celts. What was the original purpose behind donning costumes and masks? Is it to protect themselves from evil spirits, to frighten naughty children, or to disguise themselves from their neighbors?
Oh, I got it wrong. And I got this right. I got it wrong.
Really?
I put to disguise themselves from their neighbors. I thought that might have something to do with the tradition. It seemed like I thought the right one is to protect themselves from evil spirits. That seemed a little too on the nose to me, but I should have gone with the obvious one, I guess.
Yeah, so I think the concept behind it is that the dead are going to roam the earth, so you might as well blend in,
yeah.
Basically, so you can also party with them.
Okay.
So basically, we're just party crashing for demons.
Number three. Once Christianity became the dominant religion in the British Isles, Celtic traditions were melded with Christian observances. The name Halloween is derived from this Christian holiday, the evening before All Saints' Day. Is it All Hallows' Eve, All Holy Evenfall, or Hallowed Eventide? This one's fairly easy.
Yeah.
It is All Hallows' Eve.
Mm-hmm. Which, Hallowed Eventide actually, like, that actually makes sense. I don't know what All Hallows' Eve is supposed to mean, really.
It just means the day before All Saints' Day, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. So number four, modern day trick-or-treating, when children dress in costumes and go door-to-door collecting candy, has its roots in this medieval tradition. Is it souling, the practice of begging for food or money in exchange for saying prayers on behalf of the dead? Feasting, the practice of sharing food with strangers at the end of the harvest period? Or spiriting, the practice of dressing up like a ghost and playing tricks on your neighbors?
All right, I guessed and got it right. Did you get it right?
I also got it right, but I didn't. I was guessing on this one. I actually didn't know this.
Yeah,
so the correct answer is souling. So begging for food or money in exchange for saying prayers on behalf of the dead, which is kind of a jerk move. Like, hey, 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 give me food and I'll pray for your ancestor.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that spiriting might be it, but souling is what I guessed, and I guessed right. Number five says trick-or-treating was brought to America by the Irish, where it became popular in the early 20th century. However, it experienced a temporary decline during World War II due to what effect of the war? Is it cotton rationing, no costumes, fuel rationing, no transport, or sugar rationing, no candy?
I got it right.
I got it right also. It is sugar rationing. I guess that's, you know, food rationing was pretty extreme in World War II, so that makes sense.
It really was, yeah. Cotton rationing would probably be my follow-up, because I feel like communities were small enough
you could probably get fuel from
place to place.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You could probably walk. And I mean, even now, like, you just sort of walk around the area.
Yeah.
Assuming that you know, stick close to your neighborhood. Yeah. Number six, Halloween is the second largest commercial holiday in the U.S., with consumers buying decorations, costumes, and candy for trick-or-treaters. How much do Americans spend each year around Halloween?
Okay, let's pause and reflect on the fact that being the second largest commercial holiday is pretty big deal.
It is.
Because Christmas obviously is number one. There's a lot of others that are pretty big, like, you know, New Year's and Valentine's. And being the second is a pretty big deal. All right, so how much do Americans spend?
Valentine's is, like, it's very specific, like, what you get.
That's true.
You don't throw parties, really, like you do for Christmas or Halloween. That doesn't surprise me.
Well, Thanksgiving should be right up there, too, though, right?
That's true. But that's mostly, like, groceries.
Not as many purchases involved.
Yeah, there's not as many, like, it's mostly food.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really decorate as much for Thanksgiving. And food is a lot less expensive than a lot of, like, Halloween decorations, which are more, like, specialized, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So is it $3 billion, $6 billion, or $1 billion? I split the difference and guessed incorrectly.
I also did that same thing. It's actually $6
billion. It is $6 billion. That's probably what I should have guessed, but I thought, I'll just guess the middle one.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that seems like a lot of money. I'll guess a little lower, maybe? Nope, $6 billion.
All right, number seven. One explanation for the carving of pumpkins into jack-o'-lanterns comes from a Celtic folktale about a man named Stingy Jack who played tricks on the devil. When he died, he wasn't allowed into heaven or hell, and the devil doomed him to roam the earth with only a burning coal to light his way. Ever canny, Jack carved a lantern for his coal. However, he didn't use a pumpkin, but rather a... Is it a turnip, a cabbage, or a potato? I knew this one.
Yeah.
It is
so
a turnip.
So pumpkins weren't available until, like, pumpkins are native to America, so they didn't have those back then. So they had to carve it out of turnips.
That makes sense. That seems like a lot of work to carve a jack-o'-lantern out of a turnip.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, eight. Instead of Halloween, in Latin America, it's more common to celebrate Dia de Muertos, particularly in Mexico. A time to honor dearly departed loved ones with food, gifts, processions, and prayers. The festivities are symbolized by black cats, spiders, or skulls.
This is a pretty easy one if you've ever seen any of the Dia de Muertos decorations.
Yeah, or like if you've seen Coco at all. So yeah. they do the sugar skulls.
Yep.
So like the very like ornately decorated skulls with they all often do like face paint and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Number nine, in China, you might celebrate Yulan, the festival of hungry ghosts. What would the festivities entail? Is it lighting incense, burning artificial money, and offering food to the dead, or acting out dramatic deaths of famous spiritual leaders, or spending the night in the cemetery to feast and chant prayers?
I haven't heard of this, but I guessed right. So
I guessed right, too, because that's pretty in common of, like, Eastern religions, like Buddhism. That's what you do anyway, is you offer food and light incense and pray to your dead relatives. So that was the right answer.
Mm-hmm. They also burn artificial money, which I find really funny. It's like, let me death Venmo my grandpa some money by burning this.
Yep.
So number 10, a popular guise for Halloween, vampires have existed in folklore for centuries. However, much of modern vampire legend was established relatively recently. In the 1987 novel Dracula, written by what Irish author?
1897.
Sorry, 1897.
Yeah. I think everybody knows this, right?
I hope so.
So the choices are, give the
Bram
choices.
Bram Stoker, Thomas More, or Ethel Voynich?
Yep.
Ethel Voynich sounds like the most likely to be a vampire, but Bram Stoker is the guy who actually did it.
Yeah, I don't think I realized that Bram Stoker was Irish, but yeah, most people know that Bram Stoker wrote Dracula. Number 11, watching spooky-themed movies is a favorite Halloween pastime. Now a cult film, what 1993 movie set in Salem, Massachusetts, follows a teenager who accidentally brings back three witches that have been dead for 300 years. Have you seen this movie?
Yes, I literally
Casper,
just watched it with Max.
The Nightmare Before Christmas or Hocus Pocus? And
I used to watch it all the time.
It is Hocus Pocus.
With my friends.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Oh, it's so good.
And I don't
it's
really
so
want
good.
To. Sorry.
It's so good, though. Maybe it's just my nostalgia. But I thought it was very good. It's very, like, campy.
I feel like it's a movie that you only like if you saw it when you were a kid.
Well, it's very campy, and it has, like, really great musical numbers. I'm usually not a huge fan of musical numbers, but there's at least one in this that's really, really good.
Yeah.
I feel like the witches are the best part of it. And, like, the teenager, like, yeah, whatever, he's fine. There's a talking cat. He's great. He gets hit by a car. He's fine. An immortal talking cat. It's a very, very good movie. It's yeah. very campy. It's very goofy. I really like it. But okay. I do think it's kind of a, you have to watch it as a kid to mm-hmm. really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right. You want to read number 12?
Yes. At Halloween, for the past several years, American talk show host Jimmy Kimmel has challenged parents. He changes parents every year. He challenges parents to post funny videos of their children's reactions to what? Eating too much chocolate? Seeing a scary mask? Or being told, I ate all your candy?
Do you know this one?
Yes, I do. I've seen these videos before.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
So it's being told, I ate all your candy.
Which is a little mean, but also kind of funny.
A little. But it's, you know, they didn't actually, hopefully.
Right.
In most cases. So yeah. It's like, they'll be relieved afterwards. It's fine.
Number 13, Frankenstein costumes are a Halloween classic. In the novel Frankenstein
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Isn't that from the movie?
Frankenstein costumes are a Halloween classic. Yeah, I think so. In the novel Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, the eponymous character Frankenstein is a scientist, a merchant, or a monster. Everyone knows this one, too.
Everyone, yeah, because it's the whole, like, know-it-all. Well, it's Frankenstein's monster.
Actually,
Frankenstein is a scientist.
It's the monster.
But honestly, he is kind of a monster.
Yeah.
He is a scientist and a monster.
It's
He's
a really
the real
good book.
Monster.
It's actually a really
it's
good
It's very
book.
Good. It's really, really good.
Yeah. I recommend it. If you haven't read it, check it
I
out.
I do, too.
It's different than you expect it to be, too. I think.
Yeah.
Like, if you just have visions of, like, you know, a Frankenstein movie in your head, it's much more interesting than that.
It's much, much more interesting. Yeah, it's weird to see, like, the book Frankenstein is kind of, like, a weird case where, like, it's actually, like, a deconstruction of our concept of Frankenstein, but it was the original Frankenstein, so, like...
Have you heard the story about, like, how it was written?
I didn't.
And I don't know all of the details, but basically, you know, Mary Shelley was hanging out with her husband, you know, P.B. Shelley, and all of his friends, like his poet friends, and they were sitting around, and like one night they were like, let's have a contest to see who can tell the best spooky story. And Mary Shelley just blew everyone away and then ended up writing the book based on it.
Yeah. Mary Shelley was such a boss. She was such a boss.
Yeah.
I love Mary Shelley as a person. She's a fascinating lady.
Piercy.
Okay, so number 14. Halloween is a time to be whatever you want, except in this U.S. state where it's illegal to dress up as a priest or nun. Is it Alabama, Vermont, or California?
Interesting. Huh.
I want to guess one thing, but I My gut's telling me something else.
I guessed, and I guessed wrong.
Oh, I guessed Vermont, and it was Alabama.
I guessed Vermont, and it's Alabama. So I did just because I figure there are more Catholics in Vermont than in Alabama. But
yeah,
but
it, I figure the true, Alabama.
The answer is Alabama. Yeah.
I figured that Alabama would want to make fun of Catholics more. I don't know.
Oh, but here's maybe what they say is Alabama actually it's illegal to impersonate any clergyman or minister of any religion in Alabama.
Huh.
So that was a little bit of a fake out there.
Yeah. All right.
Number 15 says, is this the last one? All right. Number 15 says, though its origins are wholly Irish, Halloween has become an even bigger event across the pond. What U.S. city hosts the world's largest Halloween celebration? Is it New York City, Los Angeles, or Chicago?
I don't know this one.
I guessed and guessed wrong. I guessed wrong.
I guess New York City, because they seem like they'd be into that.
That was a good guess. I should have just went with the biggest city. New York is the right answer. I guess Chicago, just because I figured Chicago has like lots of community events.
That's true.
So but, how many did you get right?
The Greenwich Village Halloween Parade is the largest Halloween celebration in the world, apparently.
That's right, and I think I knew that. I've heard of the Greenwich Village Halloween Parade, so that makes sense.
How many did you get right out of
this? I got 11 out of 15. It says, nice work. Ooh. You're a Halloween hero who doesn't scare easily. I think it's a good thing I got at least the majority of them right, because it is my birthday after all. How many did you get right?
I got 13 out of 15.
Oh, you beat me. You did very, very well. You only got two wrong. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I guessed on some of them, but I usually guessed right. I should have gone with my gut and guessed Alabama for that one, because that's what my gut said first of all. But then I was like, I don't think there's many Catholics in Alabama.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But apparently in Alabama you can't impersonate any clergy. So
yeah,
that's what we did not take into consideration. All right. Yeah. So this is in making up for the fact that we didn't have a podcast last week. This is going to be a super long podcast. unfortunately, this is where we're going to have to say goodbye to you though, because we didn't coordinate well enough to do treat yourself together, and I will do treat yourself with the boys here in just a second. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
And for treat yourself today, because Elizabeth and I are in different locations and weren't able to coordinate our treat yourself, I brought the boys in and they're going to try spooky Halloween limited edition Kellogg cereals with me. Oh, as near as I can tell, the only thing that makes them spooky is they're just like regular Kellogg cereals, but they have spooky marshmallows.
Yeah, the thing is, like, whenever brands do, like, ooh, these are spooky flavored or anything, like, spooky cherry or spooky green apple, like, it never means anything.
Although, it does mean that spooky how unhealthy it is.
Apparently, marshmallows are spooky. That's what I'm learning.
Especially when they're ghost-shaped.
They're ghost-shaped, spooky marshmallows.
The only time it matters is when we had those horrific zombie Skittles a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, those were basically spookily bad, I guess.
So mom was in the spirit of Halloween, saw these in the grocery store and bought them. There are spooky chocolate frosted flakes with spooky marshmallows.
Now with 20% more spookiness.
Spooky Apple Jacks with spooky marshmallows. And there are spooky Fruit Loops with spooky marshmallows. Which one should we try first?
I feel like we should do the...
I'm not sure if there's actually, the right one to try first.
I feel like Frosted Flakes.
Like usually right, one will like stick in your mouth. For
let's try so the Frosted chocolate Flakes. Frosted Flakes first, and we'll see what we think. So chocolate Frosted Flakes with spooky marshmallows. It turns out there's three types of marshmallows, and I think this is true for all three of these cereals. There are bat-shaped marshmallows, there are Frankenstein-shaped marshmallows, and they're ghost-shaped. The Frankenstein ones, if you didn't know it was Frankenstein, you might have a hard time guessing.
What's your favorite marshmallow?
I kind of like the Frankenstein ones. What about you?
Okay. I expect an answer from that.
1 second. So none of these marshmallows are flavored, which is just a normal thing for like cereal marshmallows. But the thing is, chocolate marshmallow Frosted Flakes already exist, and they just made the marshmallows spooky. So it's not very creative.
Do they already have chocolate Frosted Flakes with marshmallows?
Is Unfortunately, that yes.
That's a thing
they do
outside of the Halloween yeah. ones?
I know they have do. Just like normal chocolate Lucky Charms, but... Okay, so I'm not sure if I'm the only person to experience this or not, but like, I feel like the textures of marshmallows and flakes don't really mix. Like, it yeah. kind of tasted like... It was like nails on a chalkboard. It was weird.
So what would you rate it?
I mean... It is, like, sugary cereal, but I guess a high okay.
I actually kind of liked it. I don't know. Maybe it's just been a long time since I've had Frosted Flakes and marshmallows. I do kind of like cereal marshmallows. I don't know why. They're weird and kind of crunchy. I'm just going to go ahead and call it delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a little delicious, honestly.
All right, let's try the Apple Jacks with spooky marshmallows next. All right, what do you think of the Apple Jacks with spooky marshmallows?
This is the type of cereal where, like, or the type of thing you'll have on Treat Yourself where, like, it's really good, but also they kind of cheated because it doesn't really taste that much different or anything. So I guess I'll give it, like, a delicious but disappointing.
Yum, yum, yum,
like,
yum, yum.
Like, so delicioso. I don't know.
I'm going to flip-flop on this one. I kind of liked the chocolate Frosted Flakes with marshmallows. The problem with this for me, although I kind of like Apple Jacks too, the Apple Jacks are crunchy and the marshmallows are crunchy and you don't taste the marshmallows because the crunch mm-hmm. of the Apple Jacks just sort of hides the okay. marshmallows for me.
I feel like it's hard for me to judge because I literally got two marshmallows.
I only got a few.
Which yeah, is ridiculous.
For some reason, it didn't seem to be
okay,
as many
but Dad,
marshmallows.
You got over five, so that's lucky. That's lucky.
Know.
So
it's random.
I give this a low delicious because there's barely any marshmallows.
Yum 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 yum, delicioso.
You don't realize like how overloaded with marshmallows Lucky Charms are until you have like the off-brand ones, and they have like five marshmallows.
Oh, the problem with Lucky Charms is like there's a ton at the top and then like none at the bottom.
It seems like we that's always end up cereals. With like. Like a bowl or two at the bottom of the bag that don't have any marshmallows in them
you
at all.
You guys say that that's because you pick it out, but I've like...
It's not.
I've like basically run social experiments.
Do you think all the marshmallows like, settle at the top because they weigh less than the other
They do, and I swear cereal. It's not because I'm picking it out.
All right,
it's
we got not. one last one to try. It could be very similar to the Apple Jacks, but it's the Fruit Loops with spooky marshmallows. So Fruit Loops with spooky marshmallows... Not surprising, it's similar to the Apple Jacks with spooky cereals in that it's a crunchy cereal with crunchy marshmallows, so the except, marshmallows do get a little bit lost.
Except, I feel like it works better because of the flavor, and also there's more marshmallows, thank goodness.
I don't know.
One thing I kind of appreciate is they change the colors of the Fruit Loops to just orange and purple, which are good
that's
Halloween
only
colors.
So now it's even less distinguishable.
And I don't mean to blow your mind or anything, but... Fruit Loops all taste the same.
Yeah.
They don't actually have different flavors.
They're all like lemony, like citrusy flavor, but I feel like it works better with the marshmallows.
They're just Fruit Loop flavor.
So
I don't know.
I feel like my thoughts on this one, like, you could basically just like rewind the episode and just listen to all of my thoughts on the Apple Jacks, and those are like my exact same thoughts on the Fruit Loops.
Yeah, Apple Jacks and Fruit Loops taste different, but... You know, anyone who's had either one knows what they think of those, so
although,
I think the marshmallows just doesn't do a whole lot.
Although, maybe it's just the fact that I like Fruit Loops way more than Apple Jacks.
Yeah, maybe it's like a slightly hairy delicious.
Oh, I like Apple Jacks more than Fruit Loops, personally.
Actually, it's like a mid-delicious.
Like, I think it's maybe a slightly higher delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso!
Like the Apple Jacks, I'm going to say they're just okay.
Still disappointing because, like, this isn't anything different, like, at all.
Well,
there's like five marshmallows.
It's a little weird just to add marshmallows and call it spooky, call
it's
it Halloween,
lazy.
But that's what they did. That's what the Kellogg Company did. So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, boys, for joining me for Treat Yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to Elizabeth for being on the podcast remotely. And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. I've been trying to be a little bit more active on our social media accounts. You can download and stream all of our episodes at talkdadpodcast.com. And you can email us at talkdadpodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with us. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And two, wherever you found the podcast, if you'll leave us a good review, and a good review is a 5-star review, that helps lift the podcast profile potentially, and other people might be able to find the podcast as well. So thank you very much. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. It's time for later, alligator.